This is VOA News via remote. I'm Tommy McNeil. Once again, hundreds took to the streets of Mandalay, Myanmar's second largest city, on Monday to continue to protest last month's military coup. Large protests have occurred daily across many cities and towns since the February 1st takeover, and security forces have responded with ever greater use of lethal force and mass arrest. At least 18 protesters were shot and killed February 28, 38 on March 3rd, according to the UN Human Rights Office. More than 1,500 have been arrested, according to the Independent Assistance Association for Political Prisoners. Members of the medical profession launched the Civil Disobedience Movement, which is the nominal coordinator of the protests frequently hailed on demonstrator signs by its CDM initials. Myanmar labor unions, meanwhile, issued a joint call for a nationwide work stoppage beginning Monday with the goal of a full extended shutdown of the Myanmar economy. The escalation of violence in Myanmar as authorities crack down on protests against the February 1st coup is adding to pressure for more sanctions against the junta, but countries are struggling over how to best confront military leaders in order to global condemnation. The challenge is complicated by fears of harming ordinary citizens who are already suffering from an economic slump worsened by the pandemic. Past sanctions have had limited impact, and Myanmar's neighbors, its biggest trading partners, have sought to avoid them, but activists and experts say there are ways to ramp up pressure on the regime. More at voanews.com. This is VOA News. Australia has suspended its defense cooperation program with Myanmar. That's according to Foreign Affairs Minister Maurice Payne on Monday, amid the intensified crackdown by the country's military on massive protests against last month's coup. Australia will also redirect immediate humanitarian needs to Rohingyas and other ethnic minorities, Payne said in a statement late Sunday. Canberra will also continue to demand the immediate release of Sean Turnell, an economist and advisor to the deposed leader, Aung San Suu Kyi. Turnell has been detained with limited consular access since the February 1st coup that overthrew Myanmar's elected government. The Southeast Asian country has been plunged into turmoil after the army took over control of the country and detained elected leaders with daily protests that United Nations said had led to more than 50 deaths. The United States and South Korea have reached an agreement in principle on a new arrangement for sharing the cost of the American troop presence there, which is intended as a bulwark against the threat of North Korean aggression. The State Department's Bureau of Political Military Affairs said Sunday the deal includes a negotiated increase in Seoul's share of the cost, but it provided no details. The Bureau wrote on Twitter that the agreement, if finalized, would reaffirm the U.S.-South Korean Treaty Alliance as the linchpin of peace, security, and prosperity for Northeast Asia. South Korea's foreign ministry on Monday issued a statement similar to that, saying the two countries were seeking to tentatively sign the deal. It said the agreement came after 3 days of face-to-face talks in Washington. In a wide-ranging interview aired Sunday, Harry and Meghan described painful palace discussions about the color of their son's skin, losing royal protection, and intense pressures that led the Duchess of Sussex to contemplate suicide. The interview with Oprah Winfrey was the couple's first since they stepped down from royal duties, and the two-hour special included numerous revelations likely to reverberate on both sides of the Atlantic. Harry told Oprah that he felt trapped by royal life and was surprised that he was cut off financially and lost his security last year. He also said he felt his family did not support Meghan, who acknowledged her being naive about royal life before marrying Harry as she endured tabloid attacks and false stories. Via remote, I'm Tommy McNeil,